who has two children about the same age as my children when they were younger, and she told me this story. Her husband was in the Navy. He was a fighter pilot. They were stationed here, and he was... Did somebody say something about my microphone? How's that? Can you edit that, please? Okay, so he was deployed, and she was home with her two sons, two young sons, and she had read their nighttime story and said prayers with them, and she was putting them to bed, and she heard this terrible crash downstairs on the first floor. And then she heard kind of a whirring kind of sound, and she heard men's voices. Well, this was the day before cell phones. She didn't have a phone on her, and she didn't want to risk leaving their bedroom to go into her room to find a phone. So she did what every good mother would do. She pushed the dresser drawers in front of the door and then sat down in front of the dresser. That dresser kind of became her wall, and she started praying for all that she was worth. And at one point she said, God, if they're down there, they can take everything we have. I don't care. Just don't let them come upstairs. And she listened carefully to hear the footprints or the footsteps of these would-be intruders. All night long she sat there. Her boys snuggled down. They were sound asleep, probably 2 and 5 years old. And she trembled. Have you ever been nailed to a wall with fear? It almost takes your voice away, doesn't it? And so she sat and she just prayed all night. And I'm sure there were thoughts of, I wish that my husband was home. There were probably some conversations in her mind. Should I go out and look? No, I don't want to go out. She just wasn't sure what to do. As daybreak came, she decided that she finally had enough courage to go down and see the damage that was done. And so she pushed the dresser drawer aside. She opened the door carefully. Her heart was about to pound out of her chest. She gingerly walked down the stairs to see how much stuff was taken. And as she looked around the corner into the living room, she discovered the night before, her boys had been playing with Buzz Lightyear and Woody. And they had set them up at the corner of the table before they had gone upstairs to bed. And while she was putting them to sleep, they fell. Now, some of you might remember Buzz Lightyear, but he had buttons on the front. And when they were pressed, a man's voice came out. All night long, she had heard Buzz Lightyear talking. Now, Woody had the same thing, so there were sometimes two voices talking and sometimes one voice. It wasn't until the batteries ran out that the voices went away. All night long, she had been pinned to the wall with fear. And it was just Buzz and Woody. She said, you're the only person I know I'm going to tell this story to. Please don't share it. You know, we all have walls. Walls where we stay because they're comforting. We don't have to put ourselves out there. And there are a lot of reasons. Today we're going to look at a story in the Bible. And it kind of has an ironic twist because the one who thought he wasn't at a wall was really stuck to the wall. And the one who was at the wall was really the one who was free. If you have your Bibles, your phones, your tablet, the list is growing these days, maybe even your watch, turn with me to Luke chapter 7. We're going to read the story of a woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her perfume. Now, this is not the story found in Matthew 26, Mark 14, or John 12. That was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And this story is also not about Mary Magdalene. There's not a single scholar out there that will attest to that. Some people think so, but it's an unnamed woman. And I'm rather thankful for that, because we can maybe perhaps put ourselves in her place. I'm reading through the New International Version of the Bible, starting at verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "Well, if this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered Simon, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Well, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, which is to be about 2 years' worth of salary." So just think, whatever your particular salary is, think of 2 years. "And the other about 50. That would be about 2 months. Now, neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Now, Simon responded, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." It's funny in the Greek, the way those words are put together, it's almost as if Simon is saying, "Whatever, I suppose it's the guy that owed the most." There was a bit of attitude behind it. "Well, you have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go into peace." Now let me give you the context for this. There was no CNN, no CNBC, Fox News, no newspaper, no internet. So the way that you learned things was often usually someone with some kind of wealth, would invite maybe a traveling rabbi, a guest speaker, someone of importance into their home so they would have these great discussions. So Simon invited Jesus into his home. Perhaps they were going to have a theological debate. Maybe he was trying to entrap Simon. The Pharisees and Sadducees did that quite a bit with Jesus. In fact, most of the really beloved parables that Jesus told, the stories, were a direct response to a question from a Pharisee or Sadducee. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son. You know the story quite well. Or the saying, "We are to keep our friends close, but our enemies even closer." Maybe he wanted Jesus to come in. There's been a lot of talk about him. I want to find out what the scoop is. So in this big open room, there would be a low table. Maybe it was round, maybe rectangular. Low couches around, or pillows or cushions. And the guests would recline at the table, often resting their head on their left elbow if they were right-handed, and they would eat with their right hand, meaning that their feet then would be out. Now, if you were wealthy at all and you had this kind of room, what you would do is you would open your doors, you'd open your windows, and the townspeople would come in and line the walls. That way they could hear the discussion, they could learn. This was especially important for women because they weren't allowed to go to school. They weren't allowed to learn the Hebrew or the scripture like the men were. So if some of them, even if they stood outside and listened through the window, they would be learning things. Also, sometimes the very poorest people would come because after all the food was served, the leftovers would be given to them. The more leftovers that were given, the greater your sign of wealth. So Simon was a Pharisee in this town, and he wanted Jesus to come. And so I want you to get that picture in your mind of the walls that were lined with people. Let's look at Simon. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were full. Now, they were religious, and they didn't make any mistakes. They were known as the pious men of Israel, whose loyalty to their covenant relationship with Yahweh impelled them to resist any conformity to the world. They lived by the scripture. They lived by their oral tradition. They lived by laws and rules. They were primarily middle class. They were businessmen, merchants, and tradesmen. But to be a Pharisee, you took a vow of obedience. They kept themselves separate. The name Pharisee is taken from the Hebrew word that means to separate. They separated themselves from the world, and everyone knew it. They held considerable power and influence over the masses. Now, the Sadducees, another religious sect, they held considerable power over the political world. Those in politics often looked to them, but the masses, the people, the you and me, we would look to the Pharisees for teaching. The Jews believed them, and Herod did not want to cross them because of the clout that they carried. I suppose today, if you were running for political office, you would want a Pharisee or two close to you, because you'd want someone who had the influence and the power over the masses. The Pharisees were well represented, and these were priests and Levites, people to the level of priesthood. So they were known as experts in 113 laws. So as they were to give 10% on mint, of my mint on Monday, I never planted it. I don't know what 10% is, but you see, you would do such a thing from Jesus. Quoting Isaiah, he said, Isaiah was, as it is from me. They worship me and you have let go mere commands of God, and you're holding on to human. Looked on the outside, that seven, Jesus says, a person can defile them by defiles him. You know, it's not just what we do. Have you ever judged anyone? After a bout with cancer, 26, 27 years ago. I'll be honest. Had her little daughter with her, and she was given that. She's harsh. My thought, I don't want her talking to him like. We washed hands. I kind of looked at her, looked standing outside waiting for her. We're fine. Do you know what I found? She was never evening, Sunday night, Wednesdays. And at that time, if I had six kids, I would have to, that would be like herding cats. Totally changed to admiration because she did something right. Jesus. There's no way he would let him play. Let's look at the woman, D. Mistakes. The girl, a moral failure, some kind of. Peter uses this word after his first meeting with Jesus. C.S. Lewis says, the closer this woman was a sinner. We know polynomial. The Pharisee, Simon, remember he was one, if a sinner ever wanted to become unclean, this woman, her reputation of sin followed her. The phrase, a woman known, perhaps a prostitute. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. She gave Jesus on his feet. And Jen, a little water be brought. And then you, the feet was a menial task. One didn't have heels. They didn't have on by some kind of, nothing was paved. Sometimes you walk well. And so when you can then pour water over your feet, restorative. And then nice. The dust and the dirt. Can you imagine? Can you imagine them standing out and then look at this one and say, okay. And yet that's what Simon did. All to dry his feet. But this woman, to let down her hair in public, and can divorce his wife and a kiss of hospitality to welcome back to Genesis. When this woman met Jacob for the first time, he kissed. You know, whenever you greet somebody in church, they always kissed each other. Huggers. That for Jesus either. It's interesting here because that word guests would come in. And remember, Jesus as like the center of attention. This woman poured perfume on Jesus of her worship to reign. We're not talking Martin Luther called tears. Can you imagine? Here's this woman standing, guests there lining the wall so the servant. Now whether she's, and she knows who Jesus is, corner talking. Maybe she had heard of him and she knew him. Magdala in Israel, entire world. And think about this century, especially Jewish women, educated. They weren't allowed to take care of themselves. Many of them were forced all for the necessities of life, to be owned for work or objects. And when he looks at women, he looks at, it doesn't matter to him what they him like, what their body type is, what their size, individuals that God made them to be. That was probably the first time, but not love him. And she's standing against that to the King of Kings and Lord of Kings, water over his feet and at his feet. And she begins to mix with that. Well, she's not going to use her garment. That's abandonment. But her love over that she might have. God keeps us from living that kind of a. But let me think here. If I'm nice of that, and then Simon's going to. Let me. Jesus, I'll be with you in just a minute, right? Dear. What you think didn't matter. Jesus had. That he was owed and her own hair. Perhaps she was pouring her profession because you looked at me, because you loved me. But something else happened. Said no more. No can't. Empty. He filled her with worth. And the passage is, Simon. Sometimes we see the a place that we should find her. She had been. Get them different stories. There were three little girls lined up at this. I didn't make that a rule. In their beautiful Sunday dresses, sitting the t-shirt, and her hair was a little disheveled, or chair. And these little continued her little conversation. And one's father was a pastor. The last little girl came in. If anyone. What were you thinking? Father, when have I with abandon like this woman? He also gave her forgive that was forgiven as her great love has shown. That you love much. Not only to mention the woman, but also to address. He knew what was in her heart. He didn't have to. And he addressed her. I'm here to tell you today that you. Jesus gives this woman. Your faith has saved you. And the woman showed Jesus was an out into visible sign of the forgiveness. Arene, a peace that the Father of Heaven, when you live in that kind of, God keeps us from leaving the wall to be the Lord of your life. There's still sin in your life. There's a habit. It's cool. I'll just stay back here. Or, therefore, we don't. I've tried, but I failed way. What will others think of me? What if I get up? Will he reject me? To his heart. His presence, their own sin. You see, I'm going to ask the word for us. Having my whole nature yielded to him, himself will fill it. The pros and cons, what I can and cannot is really, I'm asking you today, keeps you to the wall. Abandonment.
You're not looking for me to me, pretend I'll give you everything. Give you everything. Oh, You can have my heart. And search me till I'll get all.
Walls that Dan and I, it's really hard to leave that. I don't ever walk into this room and not. And what I found is, you see, when I stay, it would be so much easier to stay home. That's love for me. I encourage you today. We're going to sing a part of that all over this place. There, I don't care what anybody else thinks, God. I don't care how it's going to be done. God, I want. Ever offer you. He wants your thoughts back in return. Drifting back to the wall, think about, I just want, you know, recently I'm so excited. That's how much he loves. If you're here today and you've never not really living the way I should, I'm not up afterwards. We're getting ready to dismiss. This is a great day. I'm here. A great day. I see you. Give you that peace. And that's what he says in that peace. God bless you all.